Shir topic for today. So today I sent out the Mar Makomo sheet on the WhatsApp. I wanted to talk about Kriya Shalom as part of the mitzvah of Milchama. So I want to discuss this in three sections today. So first I want to introduce the concept of Kriya Shalom. Next I want to speak about the conditions under which there is a din of Kriya Shalom to override Milchama, or a duty to make shalom, to enter into peace agreements rather than to wage war. And then thirdly, to speak about why the halacha puts an emphasis on Kriya Shalom. Like, what is the value of Kriya Shalom as opposed to Milchama? Now, we've been speaking about the din of Milchama, the din of Milchames Mitzvah. There's no question, even Kohelet tells us that there's Eis Milchama and Eis Shalom. There's a time for war and a time for peace. The question is, even when you're engaged in a Milchames Mitzvah, or there are grounds for waging a war, what obligation is there to seek out alternative solutions, especially solutions grounded in Shalom, rather than waging war and prevailing in battle? So the source for this discussion appears in the Torah Shebichtav in Shoftim, in Dvarim Perek Chaf, Parsha Shoftim. The Pesukim begin Pasuk Yud. Ki sikrav el ir lihilachim aleha v'karasa eleha l'shalom. The Torah tells you explicitly, when you come close to a city to wage battle against it, you should call out to it in peace. And then Pasuk Yud Aleph, v'hayayim shalom ta'ancha u'paschalach. So if they respond with peace, so they accept your overture, then the entire nation that you are going to wage battle against, they should be lamas va'avaducha. So we'll see those are the two crucial conditions of accepting shalom that the psukim themselves lay out. And the sifrei is very clear that both of these conditions have to be satisfied. So mas and avdus, we'll explain what those mean in a moment. And it's only v'im lo tashlim imach, if they don't make peace with you, then v'asa imcha milchama v'tzarta aleha. Notice also the phrase, like, they do battle with you. Right? So by rejecting your overture in Kriya Shalom, they're basically declaring war. And then you should oppress them, and you should lay siege to their cities. And then the halachos in Pasuk Yud Gimel of war kick in. So when is it v'kisa kol zechura? When are the nashim and the taf exempt from the milchama, from being persecuted in milchama, etc.? Okay? But the Torah itself is very clear about the din of Kriya Shalom when you wage war. Now let me say one other thing about the conditions or the scenarios where this applies. If you look at the psukim carefully, you'll notice there's a distinction there between what we've called a milchames reshus and a milchames mitzvah. So the dinim of milchames reshus, or the idea of milchames reshus, is mentioned in pasuk tesvav. Kein tasa l'chol ha'arim harachokos mimchamod, asher lo mi'ari ha'goyim ha'ilahena. These rules apply when you do battle against cities that are beyond the borders of Eretz Yisrael. But then Pasuk Tezayin, Rak me'arei ha'amim ma'ela, asher Hashem lukecha nosen l'chanacha, lo sechaya kol neshama. And that's where the dinim of Milchames Mitzvah kick in. So there is some interesting discussion in the Rishonim that maybe the din of Kriya Shalom that appears in the Psukim is limited to a Milchames Rishus. Because Pasuk Yud is Kisikr Valiyol Hilachim Alev Across Hilal Shalom, Yud Aleph and Yud Beis are Ravdine Kriya Shalom. And Pasuk Tesvav sums up the section, Kein Tasa L'chol Arim Harachokos Mimcha. So you should do for all the faraway cities, implying Milchames Rishus. And then Tezayin, which talks on Milchames Mitzvah about Shiva Amin, that says, Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama, Hacharim Tacharimim. So maybe there's some room here to suggest that the din of Kriya Shalom doesn't apply to Milchames Mitzvah. I don't think that is the straightforward reading of the Pesukim. We'll see the Rambam rejects that as the din. The Rambam thinks that Kriya Shalom applies to any Milchama, as does the Ramban. I'll just explain to you how the Ramban reads the Pesukim. It's the Ramban on the spot here. Anybody know? Exactly. The Torah, so look how I broke it up on the source sheet. Sukkim Yud through Yud Beis, those are the dinim of Kriya Shalom. Kisikar Ali Lachim Allah, Cross Allah, the Shalom. Hayyam Shalom Tancha, etc. Lamasva Abducha. Im Lo Tashim Imach, Vasayim Chal Mucham. That's one unit. That's the dinim of Kriya Shalom. Then the Torah in Pasuk Yigimel introduces an internal distinction within Mulchama about when there's a Chiyuv of Hikisa Kol Zachar, as opposed to Nashim and Taf. And when there's a din of lo sechaya kol neshama. And there you have a distinction between ha'arim ha'rachokos mimcha and arei ha'amim ha'ela. So the Melchemes Rishus, Melchemes Mitzvah distinction, is the Ramban's argument, only applies to the set of people you're waging battle against, whether it's kol neshama or just the zecharim. But the distinction does not apply to the din of Kriya Shalom. Anybody see that? That's how the Ramban explicitly reads the Pesukim. And I think that's the Pashup Shad in the Pesukim as well. Let me just give you the Rambam's formulation. So we have that here on page 3 of the source sheet. Rambam Hilchos Melachim Perek Vav Halacha Aleph. Ein osin melchama im adam ba'olam ad shekorin lo l'shalom. Echad melchames harashos ve'echad melchames mitzvah. Sounds very clear that there's no mochama, even a mochamas mitzvah, without first kriya shalom. What's that?
Well, like the din of kriya shalom means that if they accept that, then you don't do war with them. So how do you tie that to mochamas mitzvah, shiva amim? Meaning you're supposed to kill all the... Like, what does then shiva shalom accomplish? Are you saying that if they accept shiva shalom, then you wouldn't...
Exactly, yeah. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, I mean,
it's a huge qualification on the din of Mechamas Sheva Amin and Mechamas Amalek, right?
I think that's a big discussion in the Rambam, right?
That what?
I guess in general.
Well, see, the Rambam's very clear here that it applies to everyone. Because remember, Mechamas Mitzvah is a defined term. Shenemar ki sikar v'alir lihilachim ala v'karasa ilal l'shalom. Im hishlimu. So if they make peace, we'll see the Rambam thinks there are three conditions that have to be satisfied. The kiblu sheva mitzvos shenitzavu b'nei noach alayhen. So they have to accept sheva mitzvos b'nei noach. Ein hargin mehen neshama v'harei hein lemas. What does that mean, that they're lemas?
Like men.
So what is the mas? The Rambam explains. Look here, I'm highlighting. V'hamas sheyakablu sheyu muchanam avodas hamelech begufam uvim umamonam. So they have to be able to chip in financially, you would tax them, and they would have to be involved in labor campaigns. Kegon binyan achomos, chozek hamitzudos, binyan armon hamelech v'chayotze bo. We know that from Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech utilized the people that he conquered for the big construction projects. So mas connotes some sort of taxation, and that they will participate in labor campaigns. What is the avdus? Avdus here doesn't mean slavery or servitude, but they will have some sort of secondary status, not as equal citizens with the Jewish people. So you can see the Rambam says, "Va'avdus sheyakablu hu sheyu nivazim u'shvelim lamata v'lo yarimu rosh b'Yisrael aliyu kavushim tachas yadam v'lo yismanu al Yisrael l'shem davar shabolam." That means basically that they're not going to enjoy equal political or civil rights with the Jewish people to whom they're surrendering. They can't serve, let's say, in political office. Like if we talk about, like, something simalacha melech me'achicha, it can't be somebody who you conquered or entered into a peace treaty with. So avdus here doesn't mean slavery. It doesn't mean that they're all going to serve as slaves, but it means that they're going to be kvushim tachas Yisrael, so have some sort of secondary status. Okay, so these are the three conditions that the Rambam delineates. Number one, Sheva mitzvos b'nei noach. Number two, this secondary status. And number three, the tax and the contribution to labor campaigns. If the adversary is willing to accept those three conditions, then it's probably prohibited to do mochama with them. The obligation of kriya shalom kicks in, and you're duty bound to make peace. Josh, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, so is the mas any different between that which also B'nai Yisrael as primary citizens have to do?
I imagine so. That it's like in the Pesukim in Shlomo, we're told that the Rambam here quotes in Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Mot Perek Vav of Halacha Aleph at the end. He quotes the Psukim in Malachim,
which pertains just to the Goy.
Yeah, Kol Ama Nosar Menei Mori, they built the Ari Miskanos. And then it said, B'nei Yisrael lo nasan Shlomo Eved, kihem anshi hamochama, v'avada v'sara v'shlishav, v'sari richva v'parashav. So it seems like they had more like these honored positions as opposed to the lower labor positions in the campaigns.
They were still taxed.
What?
They were still taxed.
Yeah, I'm sure they were still taxed, but there was some distinction in the mass.
What do you make of the Ravid's comment here?
We'll talk about the Ravid's comment separately at this. Yeah.
Is the distinction between the Mechalas Rishus and the Mechalas Mesa just the proximity to Eretz Yisrael?
Here? In general? Yeah. No, the Rambam clearly defines Mechalas Rishus, Mechalas Mitzvah. Remember, Mechalas Mitzvah, the Rambam tells us, is Mechalas Amalek, Mechalas Shiva Amin, and Ezos Yisrael Miyad Sar Shabbat Aleim. All three of those are Mechalas Mitzvah. Mechalas Rishus is, again, based off the Sugis and Sota, a king who wants to expand the borders of Israel. He wants to show that he's so powerful. That's like a voluntary battle. Okay? Now, let's just look at one other point here another important point here in this discussion. You can see this also appears to be the Yerushalmi. Let's see if I have this the beginning of the source sheet. The Yerushalmi teaches us in Shvius, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Shalosh, Even Yoshua, when he was conquering the land of Israel, he sent three missives, three letters. Misha rotze lipanos yifne. Whoever wants to run away could run away. There's no duty to stay. Lahashlim yashlim. Whoever wants to make peace with us can make peace with us. Lasos mechama yasa. And it's only the measure of last resort that you should stay, or you could stay and do mechama against the Jews. And the Yishalmi goes on to explain how different members of Eretz Yisrael chose different tactics. Some made peace, some did mechama, and some decided to run away. And the Rambam says, the Rambam codifies, if you go back to his language in Perek Vav, that's the halacha ledoros. Let's see, we have it over here. Halacha hey, Perek Vav halacha hey, shlosh ksav mshalach Yoshua achalach nechnesu la'aretz, Harishon shalach la misha rotze levroach yivrach. We'll see, that halacha is also codified. The Ramban thinks that's a mitzvah asay, that even when you are laying siege to a city, to always give the members of the city an out. Leave the fourth side open. So that's the mitzvah levroach. The Ramban says that's one of the mitzvah asay in our Torah. He counts it in a shikras asin. V'chazar v'shalach misha rotze lahashlim yashlim. V'chazar v'shalach misha rotze lasos melchama yasa. That's the Rambam codifying the Yerushalmi here. But it's uncontroversial. The Rambam says this, the Ramban says this, that Melchama is a measure of second resort or third resort. The halacha's preference is for there to be Kriya Shalom and for the enemy to agree to Shalom with Bnei Israel. So long as they're willing to meet the conditions of Mas, Avdus, and accepting Sheva Mitzvos, as we explained. Okay? And if you look at the Rambam's language, you could also tell that he's very clear that this applies even to Mechemes Amalek. Anybody see that language? Halacha Dalid. V'im lo hishlimu, o hishlimu, v'lo kiblu Sheva Mitzvos, o seniman mechama, v'horgen kol zecher magdolin, bozen kol mamona betapam, ein horgen isha, etc. Abamet v'armamurim, b'mechemes harishus, Shehuim Shar Ha'umos Aval Shiva Amin V'Amalek Shelo Hishlimu. So it's very clear, right? Both Amalek and Shiva Amin have failed to make peace. Then the din of Ein Menicham Mishama kicks in. So it's very meduyak here. It's almost explicit that even Amalek, if there's Kriya Shalom, there's no duty of waging battle against them.
Because the Mishnah says there that it's like once they accept these things, it's like they're not Shiva Amin or Amalek anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see that one important theory here is that whatever virtue there is of mechia or milchama is neutralized, is already captured, it's satisfied by kriya shalom together with mas avdos and kabbal sheva mitzvos. So I want to look at that now in closer detail. Like, what is the virtue of kriya shalom? So I'm going to give three three theories about why the Torah prefers shalom, even for Shivam and Amalek, over Milchama. So all three of these are suggested by the Abarbanel. Some of them are developed more extensively by other Rishonim, but the Abarbanel on the spot does a very good job developing them. It's a good Abarbanel. Not as good as the Abarbanel in Dvarim on Gershin, but also worthy of our applaud. What?
Right.
So you can see here, I have this on page 6. He says he's commenting on the psukim of Krasei Lev Shalom. So he says, "Hatuelas Rishon Shiroi Roi Bilmochama Lishol Lishalom Vilachzor Acharav Vilivroach Mehariv Otem Hamochama." We should do what we can to flee from fighting, from combat. Otem Hamochama. Right, it's a measure of secondary resort in halacha. And he says there are three true principles that this halacha manifests, that it embodies. So I'm going to start with this, with the third one, because it's the most pragmatic, and then we'll build our way up. So on page 7, you have a Taina Shlishis. Very practical reasons. Ki nitzachon hamochamos hu davar mesupak ma'od. You actually don't know if you'll win in battle. V'kama pa'amim yetzu hadvarim bezulas derech ha'hekesh. You know, and sometimes a battle doesn't result in the way we want it to. Halo reinu rabim anashim rabim sheyiplu ba'ad ma'atim v'chazakim bi'ad chaloshim u'pa'amim yinatzku dorshei hamochamos u'pa'amim yinutzku mehayoshvim betach ashelo nasu l'laches be'ela. He says, look, sometimes the aggressors who think that they're stronger, they think that they're more powerful, sometimes they succumb to an enemy that's smaller and weaker than them. So the Torah is cognizant of that fact. And so it says, look, if you could avoid war just from the sense of the uncertainty of the outcome, it's preferable to engage in Kriyas Shalom than it is to rattle your sabers as military antagonists. That's a very practical consideration, but eminently reasonable, right? Ned, do you agree?
Yeah.
Let's go up to Taina HaBeis. So this is on page 6. Lefi shekibush ha'arim b'derech shalom v'hashlamas ha'am hayoshim b'hem, mora al hayecholas u'mora al tov tchunas hamelech o hasar halochim v'shleimuso. What he wants to say here is that, yes, it's true that military victory reflects certain virtues, like virtues of power and virtues of might and capability. We talk about Hashem Zicholes to do these things. That's impressive. Hashem Yismochama, Hashem Shemo. But more impressive than accomplishing things through force and power is accomplishing it through what he calls here, through better virtues. Tov Tchunas HaMelech O Hasar Halochem Vishleimuso. It's more impressive to accomplish things through, I don't know if you would call this diplomacy, but through higher virtues. So let's see what he says here. Hine akibush yore romamus yicholto vigvuraso. It's true that conquest will show the power and your might. Kivan she yikashu oivavlo, because your enemies will bend to you. Vihishlimu itam mora al tov tchunaso vishlemuso. By making peace with them will reflect on your good virtues, your good attributes, and on your perfection.
It's about the perfection of the leadership. It's not
well?
It's about the perfection of the leadership and about the demonstration of ability. Those are two independent things.
What's that?
They're two independent things.
Hashlimo itam moral tov tchunaso vishlemuso. Omnam kibush ha'ir bigvuras ha'mochamem hayosh ha'yor ala yecholes. Hine gam kein al hachzorius v'ro ha'tchuna. So if you conquer through military power, it's true that it shows your capabilities, but it also shows your cruelty and your vices. Ro'a ha'tchuna.
I really don't like this take.
You don't like this, the Barbanel?
Why? It's
Mashehu b'malachim sakana atzuma l'hasmadas malchusam. He's saying that the wielding power is an act of violence.
That
itself is dangerous for society.
The Barbanel, just before I say it, I am in the class about Barbanel currently.
Yeah.
He lived like a, he was a stoic, and he believed that like that inherently Jews were meant to be like the oppressed. Like, and I feel like that's somehow it's shown here. I mean, he's trying to.
Who's teaching this class?
He says it in his letter. I'll show it to you.
All right, we'll talk about it.
No, stoic.
What does that have to do with press stuff?
Well, like, I can show it to you. And it's a letter to, what's that guy's name?
Come on, Ezra. So the theory here is that yes, it's impressive to conquer things with violence and power, but power itself is, and violence is dangerous. He calls it roat chuna, it's a vice, and there's an element of cruelty in it, which I think you see in every war, right? Even a justified war, even in a war that has good reasons, there's no doubt that it does bring out these inherently bad tendencies.
That's the Ramban's point.
Vaya machanecha kadosh? It could be. I think the Ramban is saying you get swept up in battle to do bad things as well. I think the Barbanel is making a sharper point that even in a justified battle, even like when you're fully stoic about it and not swept up emotionally or anything like that, meaning not just that it flames or impassions bad things, but yeah, there's achzarios even in a justified war, even when you're doing all the right things. I think it's a very sobering thought of the Barbanel. And he says, and that's a sakana atzuma l'hasmada. It's a sakana even to nations themselves when they have a king who wields too much power. And then he quotes Seneca. So he quotes Yishayahu, first of all. Take a look at this pasuk here in Tesvav Hei and Yishayahu, where he says that a malcha should always be huchan b'kesed, b'chesed, a shofet should be doresh mishpat, meir tzedek. Like those are the virtues that we celebrate, not the virtues of military power. And then he quotes Seneca, philosoph, pretty interesting, who gives this mashal that even though bees all have stingers, the queen bee doesn't have a stinger. I never heard this mashal before. That's what I'm quoting over here. And he says because I don't know if it's. Maybe he's not talking about a stinger, maybe he's talking about teeth or something like that.
I see here that the worker bees have barbed stingers and the queen bee has a smooth stinger.
Oh, see that? Maybe that's the oketz. Right?
She mostly uses it against rival queen bees.
No. Well, let's see.
The workers use that to defend the hive.
Good. So he says the reason for this is that the nature didn't want the person who holds power to have too much military, too much of a powerful edge. And then he says, you know, we should learn from this. A leader should always try to distance from wielding that power in too brutal a way, because that has the capacity to corrupt and destroy the people that they're ruling. I mean, this is true, right? Even as the United States thinks it's important to prop up all these tyrants and dictators across the world, it does come at an extraordinary cost to the constituents of those societies. So I think that Barbanel is really right about this. And his point, just for our purposes, is that the Torah always prefers Kriya Shalom over waging battle, because even a Mechames Mitzvah brings with it Tchunos Ra'os and Achzarios. I think that's a very important lesson to internalize.
I'm just not sure where we have to go here. I mean, it's clear from the rules, like, The peace is not the reason why, like, it's not because we prefer peace, it's because there's other values we care about. I mean, the whole point of war, like, Yichud, the way Rambam talks about, like, Yichud Hashem, like, there are goals to war. And therefore, if the nations accept like peace and then Shem Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, in turn, then there's no reason to fight anymore. And like that's, I guess, probably how the Chesed Mishnah understands the Rambam, and also like that's what I saw in like Rav Amichai.
Yeah, we'll see. Rav Amichai says something like this also. The first reason that he gives.
It's clear from the rules of.
Yeah, but remember this. Yes, but Ezra, remember, even so, you have to ask. Still, all things, there are two ways to achieve that result. Right? So let's say it's to eliminate Avodah Zarah, or to eliminate the cruelty of Amalek. You could do that b'derech Melchama, or you could do that b'derech Shalom. Why does the halacha prefer one over the other? Shouldn't they be equally good courses of action? And the answer is no. One inherently brings with it achzarius and tchunos ro, so the halacha prefers the one that's the better path.
Okay, I'm saying, I guess that...
Right?
Yeah, but...
My point is not delegitimizing Mechemes Mitzvah. I don't know. I'm not a big Mechemes Mitzvah person. My point is just that you see that the idea of Mechemes Mitzvah is the course, the halacha's less preferable course of action. It prefers Kriya Shalom. It refers Shalom in all those, even in cases where there is a Mechemes Mitzvah.
It prefers Shalom. Yes, because now you have to explain why go through the means of Shalom versus the things of Melchama. But then you can just obviously say because you don't want more people to die. But once you've gained, meaning the whole goal of Melchama and the whole goal of these fights is at least my Mikhail Hashem, however you want to understand that, and also obviously because the Kabbalah is like Shalom within Noach is an inherent part of it, it's clear that's
look, my point, I think the significance of the second theory of the Abarbanel is to substantiate, I think, something just, you know, that like that comment or Wichenstein, or they say from Wichenstein about, you know, of course, like you Mechemes Mitzvah is a mitzvah, and you should do it because you have a tzivui, and right. But this is the Wichenstein quote: doesn't have to be a mitzvah like Simchas Yontif. It could be a mitzvah like Chilas Maror, right, Ezra?
Yeah.
So the Abarbanel is telling you that even though there's a Mechemes Mitzvah, there is an element of Achzarios that's just inherently a component of any Mechama. And that's why the Halacha doesn't want it as its first preference.
Right,
okay.
I'm saying the goal is not peace, the goal is something else.
The entire purpose? Why are you so aversive on making person peace into a virtue?
Because... at least in this case, it's not, because the virtue is like to either get the enemy to
I understand what Ezra's saying. Let's look at the 12 Sarishon, and that'll.
His first answer is a piece of virtue.
Let's look at the 12 Sarishon.
Okay, peace is just a meat. It's one of the meats. It's on the same level.
So let's look, Ezra. Let's look. Atayna Rishona Lefisha Roy Leshleimim Sheyelchu Bedak. This is the third theory. The first in his order, but our third for today, which I think is the most fundamental. Although I think, you know, as I said, I think that in rising order here, a reverse order to his presentation, you get from like practical to more fundamental. It's roy for shleimim sheyelchu b'darchei Hashem, kmo she'amar v'halachta b'dracha. We should follow God's ways. We should follow in the path of the ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts. Not for you, Judah. You don't want to follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that saying a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Alright, go. V'yadua sha'ashem yisbarach lo yachbot b'mos hamis v'lo yirtze v'hashchas as olam kim b'shuvo midracha v'chaya v'imo aslicha v'mino pshuto l'kabel shavim. Like we know from davening, we know from sukkim, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is lo yachbot b'mos hamis. He doesn't want a rasha to die. He doesn't want Ashkhas HaSa'olam. What he prefers, we know this from Ninveh, he prefers Kim B'Shuvo Midracha V'Chaya. We prefer that the person repents and remedy their ways. So, you know, to take Ezra's point, even if the Mechemes Mitzvah of Shivas Amim is to eradicate, to root out Avodah Zarah, better to achieve that through Chazar B'Tshuva and Kabbalah Sheva Mitzvos than to do it through Mechama. Kodesh Baruch Hu is lo yachbot b'mos hameis. He prefers tshuva. This is the debate with Yonah about Ninveh. And because that's the meat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kain ro'oi l'ma'v yamina pshut l'kabel shavim, Kein roi l'malchei ha'adama u'lashar b'nei olam. Shelo yachbitzu b'dvar rivu madon. We shouldn't desire fighting and warfare. Aval yichapru al-chatasam. We'd rather that people atone for their wrongdoings. V'yashlimu l'chol ha'mashlem imahem. And he points out that in Malachim Aleph, the Melech Aram recognizes that this is the Midah b'nei Yisrael. He says, Shamanu ki malchei Yisrael malchei chesed heim. It's like this is the virtue of the Jewish kings, that they would prefer to follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitamu chatoyim min ha'aretz, and not the themselves. That's just another version of this idea, kim b'shuva midracha b'chaya. So I think this Abravanel is really a very nice analysis of three virtues why the Torah would prefer Shaul. Let me just add two other things to the discussion very quickly. So number one is the Sefer Achinuch writes, adding to this idea of Kriya Shalom. Maybe see the Sefer Achinuch. He enforces this idea. Yeah, this is in Mitzvah Tafkuf Chav Zayin. He discusses the mitzvah of Kriya Shalom, and look what he says here. I'm highlighting it. It's on page 5. Mishar she mitzvah lefisha midas harachmanos hi mida tova. V'roi lanu zera hakodesh lehisnaig ba b'chol inyanenu. Gam hima oivim odi avodah zarah. L'ma'alaseinu anachnu. Not because an enemy deserves rachmanos, but this is kind of intrinsic to who the Jewish people are. Lo mitzad heyosam heim ruyim l'rachman v'chesed. It's very interesting whether it's like his right or our duty type thing.
It's a virtue.
Yeah, so here it's that. It's a virtue of us that we have to hold ourselves to this standard of rachmanos. Now, just to be super clear, that doesn't mean he should be merachim in the context of mechama. He means that's why the din of Kriya Shalom is that first we give an overture of Shalom. Again, under the conditions of accepting the Shavu Mitzvos and accepting Mas and Avdos, as defined above. Once it triggers the Dinam HaMelchama go into full effect. But he's explaining, why does the Torah have the path of Shalom? It's because of this element of Midas HaRachmanos that defines who the Jewish people are. Let me just add one further thought to this discussion. The Sifrei, when it talks about this, so you can see I have one version of the Sifrei on page 5. In a few places, you know, we know this medrash from the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Chanukah about Gadol HaShalom, about Ner Yishubeso and Ner Chanukah. Ner Yishubeso's kodem because of Gadol HaShalom, and Derecha Derechanom Chamasivaseh HaShalom. So the Sifrei, in a few places, it has these drashas about how great Shalom is. And in two of them, the Sifrei specifically appeals to the halacha of Kriya Shalom as the halacha's preference over Mechama. So Gadol HaShalom, Shafilu B'Shas Melchama Tzrichim Shalom. Shenamar Ki Sikra Vel Irli Lachim Alev Across Olei L'Shalom. That's in the context of Birchas Konim. When it says Hashem Yivarech Hazam B'Shalom, the Sifrei goes out of its way to cite the din of Kriya Shalom in the context of Melchama. Even in the context of Melchama, there's a din of Shalom. And same, the Sifrei on the Psukim of Kriya Shalom in Parsha Shoftim, Karas Olei L'Shalom, Gadol Shalom Shafilu Mesim Tzrichim Shalom. Gadol Shalom Shafilu B'machamtim Shal Yisrael Tzrichim Shalom. Gadol Shalom Shadari Rom Tzrichim Shalom. Shnemer Osa Shalom Romov, etc. Gadol Shalom Shechus B'mo Birchas Kohanim. B'yach Moshe Hayoyev Shalom, etc. So the Sifrei contextualizes this mitzvah in the context of the din of Kriya Shalom in general. So I just think this is an important message to reiterate in the context of Melchama. Of course, there are occasions when the overture of Shalom is rejected, and then the dinam of Melchama kick in and go into effect, and there is a mitzvah of waging war in that context. But the mitzvah of Kriya Shalom, I think, is a sobering reminder about, number one, the limits of what could be achieved through Melchama. That's the Abarbanel's point about there always is sikun. Also the point that there always is going to be a moral cost in Melchama, the midah v'achzarius, that's just inherent to taking life and waging war. And it's a reminder about the principle of Yitamu Chatayim Lo Chotim. Kadosh Baruch Hu himself prefers that people repent and be good, live good lives, rather than vindicating vengeance, taking away somebody's life, even if they're a sinner.
It's very different from
the Sefer Achinuch. I think the Sefer Achinuch is like the second theory of the Abarbanel about the Achzarius that's inherent in Milchama. I think that's what the Sefer Achinuch is getting at. So even when you have an Eis Milchama, it's always important to be mindful also of the Eis Shalom and Gadol HaShalom, that we not only does the Torah say Drachet Achanim Chon Sivosa HaShalom, but we always daven Osa Shalom B'mumav V'yasa Shalom Aleinu, that Hashem who makes shalom in the heavens should also make shalom in the world. And that's really the aspiration of the Nevi'im. And it's something that we aspire to even in the context of Muhammad. All right, shkach, guys.